You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, y'all, this is a crazy, crazy weekend coming up, man. First and foremost, let me start off by saying, man, we are finally here, December. It is the last chapter of the year of 2023. I always like to start off each and every month, man, saying new month, new opportunities, new blessings. December, please be good to us. Finish this year strong, man. It's chapter 12. I'm excited, man. Christmas time, obviously my favorite holiday. I've been spinning the Christmas music the last 2 weeks. Maybe a little over 2 weeks. I don't know about y'all, but I've been on the Christmas music heavy. I already got my tree up. I got to do some more decorations around my apartment and everything, but I got my tree up. I got the wreath up outside. Excited, man. Just excited. And, you know, I don't know what you guys' favorite Christmas song is, favorite Christmas album, but, man, Boys to Men, Christmas album, undefeated to me, man. My favorite Christmas song, Let It Snow, by Boyz II Men. Look, it doesn't get any better than that. Man, you got to throw Luther in there, man. It's a lot of good Christmas albums, man. But number one for me is Boyz II Men, man. Look, hit me up sometime, man. Let me know what y'all's, you know, favorite Christmas song is. What's your favorite Christmas album? What's your favorite Christmas movie? We can take it down to that, man. I mean, it's so many good movies out there. I would say one of my top ones, man, obviously Home Alone. Got to go with Home Alone. Got to go with The Grinch up there as well. So, look, so many more I can name. But I won't spend a whole lot of time on it. But, yeah, man, hit me up and let me know those things, man. I could take a little poll or something and come back on next time and talk a little bit about it. But, man, let's kick it to this sports talk, man. We got a big weekend coming up. As you all know, it's conference championship weekend in college football. It's actually kicking off tonight, man, with the Pac-12 championship. What I want to quickly do first is run through the current top 10 rankings as they stand right now before the game tonight and before this weekend. Then we're going to talk. Look, we're going to go heavy college football today. Just to give y'all a heads up, man, it's conference championship weekend. We got to dive deep into this stuff. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on with this committee, because I have some questions, I have some concerns, and I'm a little annoyed, and I'm going to tell y'all why. We'll go into the conference championship matchups, give you a preview of who's playing who, talk some scenarios in the college football playoff. What do we think could possibly happen? What do we think would be the result of certain scenarios? And then gonna talk a little NFL, AFC, NFC playoff picture, who I think the top dogs are in each of those conferences. And then finally, I'm gonna give y'all my weekend picks, man, for these college football conference championship games. So, like I said, man, let's kick it to it. Top 10 rankings as they currently stand. We got UGA at number one, Michigan is two, Washington is three, Florida State is four, Oregon is five, Ohio State slid down to six, Texas is seven, Alabama eight, Mizzou nine, Penn State is 10. So those are your current top 10 rankings right now heading into tonight's matchup and into this weekend. Man, I want to talk about this committee, man. So my question here is, what's wrong with this committee? I personally have a big issue with them, man. This committee has proven that they have no idea what they're doing. You know, if you ask me, they have no idea what they're doing. They're completely 100% clueless in that room. Why do I say that? Why do I say a strong statement like that? So for me, there's no clear criteria for what they're doing right now. I mean, since this committee started, they've listed out all this stuff that they, you know, in the beginning, they listed out all this stuff that they're going to be looking at and, you know, they're going to be following and all this stuff, but it's not evenly distributed across all of college football, across the top teams. I mean, you talk about a committee that looks at, they use the eye test and resume for some teams. They use strength of schedule and stats for other teams, specifically stats for one single player. What am I talking about when I say that? Prime example, the most recent rankings, I should say, that they just released, they justify having Oregon up at number 6 because Bo Nix had a certain completion percentage against Oregon State and how they dominated Oregon State. I'm like, dude, that's, they're not answering the question. Boo Kerrigan gets up there, the committee chairman. He never answers the question. He always avoids Reese Davis, Kirk Herbstreit, Greg McElroy, Joey Galloway. He avoids answering the questions. There's never a direct answer for what he's saying. Then they occasionally will throw in head-to-head when they feel like it randomly. I just don't understand what they're doing in that room, because there's no, and then they try to justify the reason why they make decisions, and it's not a clear justification. It makes literally no sense. If your job is to get the four best teams in there, put the four best teams in. I'm not saying, you know, any teams that have like two or three losses, throw them in there. But when you're evaluating this thing, right, and you're looking at it and you're not utilizing the same criteria for each team, I have a problem with that. So right now, Michigan is number 2, right? They're in the top 4. But there was a point in time where I really was confused at why Michigan got to sit at number 3 for so long after Florida State had beaten LSU when they were number 5. So why was Michigan, a team that didn't have any top 20, no top 25 wins at that point in time, they were ranked above Florida State? And then you look at the committee and they go, oh, well, the eye test is just telling us that. What? Time out. The eye test? The eye test against teams like Illinois, Indiana, Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan? Come on, man. The eye test? The eye test. And I'm not saying that the ACC is any better, because there's nobody in the ACC either. I mean, you got Louisville. I mean, they play really well. But come on, man, let's be for real. Who is Michigan played up until, you know, even with Penn State? Yeah, they beat Penn State on the road. That was a big win. But there's nobody else that they played. They have to play all year up until they play Ohio State. And I think that that's a problem. I mean, that's an issue for me, because you can't say, oh, yeah, I test for Michigan when they're beating up on these teams that just don't, they had no top 25 wins. What are we talking about? What are we doing? I don't know. But I was just using that as an example. And then you got Ohio State. Ohio State, why is Ohio State, who's not playing for anything right now, they're not even competing in a conference championship, they're ranked above Texas and Alabama? That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. These rankings should be Oregon at 5, Texas at 6, Bama at 7, Ohio State at 8. Why is Ohio State? You're just putting them there as a placeholder. Like, they're literally sitting there for no reason. They're not going to jump anybody. They're not going to get in. I mean, like, what? What are they crediting for? A good loss? I mean, and that's my other thing. You consider these games, you're looking, and then they look at teams and say, oh yeah, that was a good loss. A good loss versus a bad loss. They're holding Alabama hostage for the head-to-head against Texas. I get why they would never jump, I mean, have Bama jump Texas. I get that. But at the same time, Bama and Texas should have moved up. Ohio State shouldn't get the luxury of just sitting at 6 when they're not competing for anything. Like, make it make sense. I just don't understand that. So, I don't like this committee. I really don't. And it's not just because they're, you know, I'm a Bama alum, diehard Bama. I'm talking about across the board. As you can see, my first example didn't even have anything to do with Alabama. I just, across the board, do not think that they are evaluating these teams correctly, and this would have been a perfect year for a 12-team playoff. The perfect year. But you know what? I'll get off my soapbox. I can breathe now. I had to get it off my chest. I've been literally every time I listen to this selection committee on Tuesdays, I'm like, I always tell myself, I'm like, you know what? I'm not even gonna watch the show. I already know what they're gonna do. And then I cut it on anyway. And it just pisses me off. I'm like, I don't even know why I do it to myself. Like, I don't even know why. I mean, I knew that they were going to hold Bama at 8. I mean, I could expect that. Because I just didn't trust them to make a smart decision. The decision that made sense. But, I don't know. It's just across the board. It's just I don't know, man. I just can't wait until the 12-team playoff next year so we don't have to deal with this stupidity that we get, that we have to sit here and watch. Like, all right, I'm done. I promise I'm done. All right, let's move along, man. Let's talk about the conference championship matchups, man. Let me give you a rundown of each of the Power 5 conference championship matchups. So in the Pac-12 championship that we have taking place tonight, in Las Vegas, man, we got number 5 Oregon versus number 3 Washington. Oregon is actually opening as a 9.5 favorite in this game. This is going to be a great game. I mean, I expect this to be a really great game tonight. You obviously look at these two teams who matched up earlier this year. What was it, week 6? Week 6 they played in Washington. Washington was number 7. Oregon was number 8 at the time. And Washington was able to squeeze out a 3-point victory, 37-33, against Oregon in that matchup. That was a heck of a game. And I expect us to get another game like that. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm not going to give you my predictions yet. I'm just doing a preview of the matchups. Then you got in the Big 12 championship game, you got number 18 Oklahoma State going up against number 7 Texas. Texas is a 15-point favorite in this one. Obviously, Texas is looking to win this Big 12 championship and get into the college football playoff for the first time since it started. Then you got in the SEC championship, number 1 Georgia versus number 8 Bama, Roll Tide. You got UGA as a 5-point favorite in this one. This is what we all know to be the national championship before the actual national championship. We always consider the Georgia and Bama matchup in the SEC championship game the national championship game because it's always like that. The energy, the atmosphere, both teams, two giants going at it, two teams that are built to beat each other, clashing once again for the first time in a couple years. So, we got that matchup. I'm excited about that, obviously. Big Ten championship, number 2 Michigan versus number 16 Iowa. Michigan looking to, they're a 22-point favorite in this game. Iowa, a team who's known to punt the ball a lot, not really put up a lot of points. But they actually got a tough win on the road against Nebraska. I actually watched that game, the ending of it. It was pretty wild how that transpired. Punched their ticket to the Big Ten championship game. Obviously, Michigan is trying to finish undefeated as a Big Ten champion. They've been without their head coach, Jim Harbaugh, for the past 3 weeks. He is going to be back on the sidelines with them in this Big Ten championship game. We'll talk more about that. Then you got in the ACC championship game, number 14 Louisville versus number 4 Florida State. Florida State is a 2-point favorite in this game. We all know what happened to Florida State's starting quarterback, Jordan Travis, after he went down with a terrible leg injury, which I think he like broke his ankle or his leg in the matchup against North Alabama a couple of weeks ago. Florida State was able to go on the road. Didn't look really good against Florida in the first half, but Benson from Florida State, a running back, I want to say he's the running back, had 3 touchdowns for Florida State. and they were able to get a victory in the swamp. Then you got a Louisville team here, man, who was number 10 last week, had a lead on Kentucky, and I think that they got caught looking ahead too fast and went to sleep, and Kentucky stormed back in this game, took a lead, really had Louisville on the ropes, and was able to like I said, they took a late lead. Louisville drove down. I think Louisville got a turnover, ended up driving it down the field, scoring and tying it up. But then Kentucky got the ball, drove down the field, and was able to get a late touchdown with Ray Davis, and that sealed the victory for the Kentucky Wildcats. A big upset in that game, because you know Louisville could have been having their selves in the conversation to get a spot in the college football playoff. Do I think they would have? Probably not with it being in the ACC, but they would have been joining in the conversation, obviously. So those are the matchups that we have right now going into these championship weekend, man. So exciting matchups. This is the first time that since the playoffs started that we have a situation where all Power 5 conferences have a legit chance to get in the playoffs. This is something that we've never seen. So that is in itself is an exciting thing to know that, you know, if chaos strikes, who's really in and who's really out? Could there be a conference that is left out even after winning their conference championship? Or, you know, what is it going to come down to? You know, could a conference get two teams in? And that opens the door and is a perfect segue into our next topic, where we're talking about playoff scenarios. I'm not going to go through 1,000 scenarios here. I know the biggest ones right here is like, what if, you know, all of the top four teams lose? Could the SEC be left out? Could the SEC get two teams in? Could Florida State or Oregon be left out? Right? So, you know, if all of the top four teams lose, that one is an interesting one, right? So if all of the top four lose, if you ask me, I think that at that point in time, you would get Oregon. Well, I think Alabama would be in. I think Texas would be in. I think Oregon would be in. And then you have a situation where it would be one loss Georgia, one loss Michigan, and one loss Washington to get that final spot in the college football playoff. And if we're using eye test, I mean, they would probably go with Georgia. I mean, realistically speaking, I mean, Washington hadn't looked good these past few weeks. They barely got by Washington State, you know, by a field goal at the end. Michigan, they don't have the resume. No, but with, I mean, they have the win against Ohio State, obviously. So that is the – they could make a strong argument. So, and then you got Georgia. Obviously, they're the two-time defending national champions, so who the committee loves. And, you know, the eye test for them is big. So I think ultimately in that situation, I think that they would – Michigan would make a strong case because they would have a resume, but I think that they would, knowing this committee, they would go with Georgia. And so then at that point, you would get Bama, Texas, Oregon, and Georgia in the college football playoff. So, I wouldn't have a problem with that. And that's probably the best case if that happens. Now, could the SEC be left out? Let's talk about this now. No. There's no way on God's green earth in the college football world that I see the SEC being left out of the college football playoff. Can we stop having this conversation? Can we pump the brakes? That is absolutely ridiculous. If the committee were to do something like that, I guarantee you there would be such an uproar that they wouldn't even be able to play these playoff games. It would be such an uproar. People would show up outside. People would riot. There's no way you're going to sit up here and tell me that the SEC would be completely left out of the college football playoff. They've been in the college football. The SEC has been in the college football playoff since the college football playoff started. For 9 years. We're not about to stop now. So, obviously, I'm an SEC guy 100% through and through. The SEC runs college football. The SEC runs college football. There's no argument there. The SEC brings the viewers, they bring the ratings, they bring the excitement on the field. Unless you're matching them up against, you know, inferior schools, just because you want to see teams like TCU in there, or years ago Michigan State, or Notre Dame. When you want to put teams in there like that, that's the result that you're going to get. And no, they do not want, we do not want to see another TCU Georgia type national championship. We don't. We really don't. And there's no world where I see the SEC being left out. Could they get two teams in? Yes, that's possible too. Will they? I don't know. That would be a lot tougher this year, because I think that they're really valuing the conference championships this year. Well, shoot, heck, I don't know what the committee is valuing, to be honest with you. I'm not even going to sit up here and lie. I don't know what they're valuing, because they're so hit or miss and inconsistent. I don't know what they value. But I would assume, let me just say that, I would assume that they would value conference championships very heavily. So we'll see what happens there. But it's possible the SEC could get two teams in there, especially, you know, from the scenario that I said. If all top four lose, if everybody in top four loses, then I think that that would give Georgia, like I said, the edge when you're taking a look at comparing them to a team like Washington or Michigan. That would be a pretty interesting debate, because realistically, I mean, you could say, You can make an argument for the three of them, because you got a Washington team that would have beaten the Oregon team that won the Pac-12 championship. You got Georgia, who's been running over people, and their only loss would be to the SEC champion. I don't really think there's really too much of an argument for Michigan. I think it would more so come down to Washington and Georgia than it would. Let me stop, because Michigan would have a win over. They would have a win over Ohio State, but that loss to a number 16 Iowa team, I think that would just be too much for them to get back in. So that's why I say Washington and Georgia would be the thing that they would compare. So, and one thing that I will bring up too, it is how you look in these conference championship games as well. If you lose, how did you lose? Was it a last second field goal? Was it by, you know, seven? I don't know. It was about 1 point. Did you lose by 10 plus? Did you get dominated majority of the game and just kind of get a touchdown or score at the end where the game wasn't really as close? Those are questions. So that will contribute to what the committee decides to do come Selection Sunday. Another question, could Florida State or Oregon be left out? There is a scenario where Florida State could be left out if they win the ACC championship game. I'm sorry, people may not want to hear that. If they won the ACC championship game, would they be deserving to get in? Absolutely, they'd be deserving. They went undefeated, they won the ACC. Should they get in? To me, I mean, you're talking about a team that has their backup quarterback. You match them up against a Georgia team, Alabama, Texas. I mean, I don't know. And then you look at the ACC conference in itself; it's weak. You know, the ACC is a weaker conference. So, you know, I don't know. But would they deserve it? Yes. But there is a world where they could be left out. Like I said, in favor of a team like Georgia. If you got Georgia compared to Florida State, I don't know. Now, like I said, this committee is hit or miss, so I don't know what they would do. But, is it possible Florida State could get left out? Yeah, they could. Is it possible Oregon could get left out? Yeah, it's possible. Will that happen? I don't know, but it's possible. So, yeah, like I said, I'm not gonna go through, a thousand scenarios. I just wanted to kind of get people's minds wandering around to certain things. I mean, nobody's really talking about, what if Michigan loses? That's why I had to throw in what about all the top four losing? Everybody's talking about one, three, and four losing, but nobody's talking about Michigan losing. Is it gonna happen? It's unlikely, but anything is possible. Anything is possible. So you never know. It's all about who shows up on any given Saturday in college football. So you just never know. You literally never know. But let's move on. Let's shift gears here, talk NFL real quick, and then I will jump into giving y'all my picks for conference championship weekend, man. So let's talk about the NFC and the AFC playoff picture right now, because things are starting to take its shape, as they stand, and it's exciting time of year. We still have a good bit of ways to go, but I'm pulling up the AFC and the NFC championship, I mean a championship conference picture. So looking at the AFC, you got the Ravens have the one seed currently sitting at 9-3. You got the Chiefs at the two seed, 8-3. The Jaguars at the three seed, they're 8-3. Miami Dolphins, four seed, they're 8-3. Then you got the Steelers at 7-4 at the fifth seed, the Browns at 7-4 at the sixth seed. And then you got the Indianapolis Colts at the seventh seed, 6-5 on the bubble, outside looking in. Texas, Broncos, Bills, Bengals. You got the Raiders. So, not gonna go too far down there, but those are your teams in the AFC. And in the NFC, you got the Eagles currently at the number one seed at 10-1, the best record in the NFL. The number two seed is the San Francisco 49ers at 8-3. Three seed, Detroit Lions, 8-3. Four seed, Atlanta Falcons at 5-6. It's wild to think about 5-6 and winning your division, Jesus. The Dallas Cowboys at the fifth seed, 9-3. Minnesota Vikings are six right now, 6-6. You got the Seahawks, who's still in contention at 6-6. And then on the bubble, you got the Packers, the Rams, Saints, Bucks. So, looking at both of these, man, for me, the best teams in each of these conferences, I mean, the Eagles and the Ravens. I mean, I know that that's easier to say because no, they're both number one, but I mean, I obviously I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. I mean, I think that they've proven that. They're doing their thing. I mean, they're continuing to find ways to win. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw that Buffalo Bills game the other night, but my God, last week, that was a great game, man. A great game, winning the overtime. I mean, what an outstanding game. But the Eagles, they just keep finding ways to win. They just keep finding ways to win. And, if they're able to secure and lock up that home field advantage, it's a tough place to go play in Philadelphia. And then you got the Baltimore Ravens, man. You see what Lamar Jackson and this offense has been able to do this year, man. You bring in Zay Flowers, a young guy who's very athletic, big playmaker. You got Odell Beckham Jr. making plays. You got their running backs, Gus Edwards, they're leading the way, and those guys are really balling. And then you got a defense, man, that's very stout. Shouldn't have lost that game against the Cleveland Browns the other night, but nevertheless, Still have a really solid football team who's right now number one in the AFC. I mean, like I said, 1-2, Eagles, 49ers, Ravens, Chiefs. I think that that's going to be that's ultimately going to be the NFC and AFC championship matchups, depending on how the seeding works out. But I do see that that could be the NFC and AFC championship. And I would love to see that. We've never seen Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs go on the road in the playoffs. Pat Mahomes has not had to play one road playoff game. He's been in the AFC championship game each time at home in Arrowhead. So I want to see what would happen if he is on the road in a hostile environment like Baltimore, having to will his team to victory to get into the Super Bowl. I'm going to go ahead and make an early Super Bowl prediction. And I'm going to go with the Eagles and the Ravens in the Super Bowl, man. I would love to see that matchup. The Eagles and the Ravens. I mean, you talk about two guys in Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts clashing and going at it, man. That would be a must. That's must-see TV right there. Must-see TV right there. So I'm excited to see that if it does happen. But yeah, that's my early Super Bowl prediction. So we'll see if I'm right. We'll look at it later on down the line, and I will tell y'all if my prediction was good. And I'll reference this show too. I'm gonna bookmark it. Y'all bookmark it too, so y'all can come back and get on me if I was wrong. But yeah, so let's get into it. So the time is now to pick the champions of each conference, man, and tell you who I think will be in as a result of my picks. So let's kick things off and start off in the Pac-12 championship, which is taking place tonight, like I said, between number 5 Oregon and number 3 Washington. Again, Oregon is a 9.5-point favorite in this game. I'm going to go with Oregon. I think that, you know, I really like Michael Penix Jr. Rooting for him, man. I think they really have a solid wide receiver core. They really can get after you and push the ball down the field. The way that they've looked these past 3 weeks, just barely, you know, skating by these teams. I mean, they just haven't looked that well. They just haven't looked that good. So I think that the way the Oregon's playing right now, where they're putting up a lot of points. I mean, they're running this hurry-up offense. It's putting a lot of pressure on defense. And, you know, the way Bo Nix is playing, obviously, right now, I mean, he's getting the ball out to everyone. And I don't know, man. I think that they just look like the better team right now. I hope I'm wrong, because I do like Washington. Like I said, they got a pretty solid team. But I just think, look at the way that Oregon's playing compared to the way that Washington is playing. And it's hard to beat a team twice. So I expect it to be a high-scoring game, but I'm going to go with Oregon to win this game in their favor. I'm not going to say it's a blowout or anything like that. Maybe a 3-point victory that goes in Oregon's favor this time, as opposed to a 3-point win for Washington in week 6. So I'm going to go with Oregon. Big 12 championship. You got number 18 Oklahoma State versus number 7 Texas. Again, Texas is a 15-point favorite in this game. I am going to go with Oklahoma State in this game. Yes, I need Texas to lose because that helps Alabama out, of course. I'm going with Oklahoma State. Aside from that, man, I just think that, you know, looking at Texas, Texas is another team that, you know, they beat Alabama in week 2. Everybody's like, oh, head-to-head matters and da-da-da. They beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa by 10 and da-da. All this stuff. Bama's team was not figured out yet. Didn't know who they were. Clearly, Texas came in more as a more complete team. Had a lot of people returning. Let's stop playing games here and act like this was the Bama team from last year that was just fully complete. All right? Complete, will please just stop for 1 second. Like, calm down. It was week 2. Week 2. And since then, Alabama's looked like the better team. So, you know, Quinn Ewers obviously went down and got hurt. But, you know, Texas barely just skated by these games. Barely skated by Kansas State. Barely skated by TCU. Barely skated by Iowa State. Eventually, the luck is going to run out. I mean, you look at a TCU team last year. They were barely skating by these games. Barely skating by. Until finally, Kansas State stepped up in the Big 12 championship. He was like, you know what? Nah. No. That stops now. So I could see an Oklahoma State team who could run the football. Their quarterback is not the best. I mean, he does turn the football over, but they do have, you know, some receivers. But the best bet for them is their running game. So I do think that, you know, it is going to be a tough challenge for Oklahoma State. Just because of the simple fact that, you know, Tennessee's run defense is pretty solid. But, I mean, they have some playmakers on the D-line. But I do think that, you know, at the end of the day, Oklahoma State can still challenge them in that pistol offense. So, I mean, you honestly, if... And then Oklahoma, I know Oklahoma State, they struggled against BYU. They were getting destroyed against BYU last week. I think at one point it was like 26-6 or something crazy like that. I was like, Jesus, what is going on with Oklahoma State? But I think that if you can really get a running game going with Ollie Gordon, I mean it'll and control the clock and keep the ball out of Ewers' hands and making sure when you long sustained drives, and then you're scoring touchdowns, and then you're getting stops on this against this offense, man. You know, Oklahoma State could win this game, so I'm gonna go with Oklahoma State. But I do think that it'll be close. SEC championship game, number one Georgia versus number eight Bama. Of course, you got Georgia as a 5-point favorite in this matchup. Y'all know who I'm rolling with, man. I mean, is this a secret? Was there any question about who I'm picking in this game? Alabama is who I'm rolling with. Roll Tide. Picking Bama to win the SEC championship game. Listen, a lot of people have been talking crazy to me this week. I mean, there's people talking real crazy about Bama. Real crazy about Bama. And I'm just thinking to myself, when are y'all ever going to learn? When are you ever going to learn? I mean, I got people reaching out to me. Somebody reached out to me the other day. It was like, y'all are going to get blown out. We're going to whoop y'all. Okay, cool. Yesterday, I'm at work. I got somebody walk up to me at work. And he goes, so how much are we going to beat y'all by on Saturday? What? What? Like, there's one thing to talk trash, but let's not be delusional. Let's not be delusional now. This is not a game you just gonna cakewalk into and just walk out with a 30-point win. That's not gonna happen. Y'all just gave up 23 to Georgia Tech last weekend. Let's stop playing. And you want to bring up Auburn? They only beat Auburn by 7 points. Auburn rushed for over 200 plus yards against Georgia and Alabama. And had Georgia not had Brock Bowers, then they could have very well lost that game too. So if we want to compare apples to apples, like, there's nothing to say. But again, people have been talking crazy, and I just can't wait. Saturday can't come here fast enough. It cannot get here fast enough, because there is no quarterback that Georgia has seen that's comparable to Jalen Milroe. There's no quarterback that they have seen is comparable to him, with the way that he can use his legs, the way that he can draw attention and then still hit the big play over the top. He can take the top off of a defense with guys like Isaiah Bond, guys like Jermaine Burton. You got Amari Nyblack. You got a solid running game. And if Jace McClellan, if Jace can go, not sure just yet, but you got Roydell Williams, you got Jam Miller, you got Justice Hayes. So, you know, let's not get this twisted, because the Tide are coming to town. And I think that Alabama will win this game. I think that they'll be able to take advantage of the matchups I know they say Georgia's defense is just this great defense, and I keep hearing about all this stuff about their defense. We'll see tomorrow, but I do think that the thing that's different about Alabama versus these other teams that Georgia's played is Alabama is going to continue to take shots down the field. They're going to continue to test your secondary, who they say is elite. So let's test it out. Like, they're going to continue to push the ball down the field. I think that, Alabama's defensive line, they'll be able to get pressure on Carson Beck, which teams have not been able to do consistently, really at all. But I think that guys like Dallas Turner, Lawson, guys that can get after the quarterback, I think that with Kevin Steele being able to mix up different coverages, confuse Carson Beck, get him into some situations where, we get people in his face, having to make some tough decisions, maybe, create a couple of turnovers, maybe sack, fumble. I think that this defense is very capable of that, getting pressure, and then I trust the guys on the back end and to Kool-Aid and those guys. I think that they would do a good job. Tarion, Kool-Aid, Caleb Downs, who's balling out of his mind right now. You got Jalen Key back there. Yeah, they had a struggle game against Auburn. That's Jordan Harris, a crazy place to play. It's a tough place to win. But I do think that this defense could come together and they can create some confusion for this offense. And you already know Bowers is going to be locked in on Bowers. He's obviously a big X factor. And Ladd McConkey and Kirby Smart, I'm not buying anything that he's saying coming out of this game, talking about, oh, we don't know if Brock Bowers and Ladd are going to be able to play. They're going to play in this game. Stop the cap. Nobody's listening to that. We don't believe that for one bit. Stop playing. So, but again, I think that Alabama's defense can make enough plays and the offense can sustain some drives and make some big plays. And I think that Alabama will win this game. Big Ten Championship, number 2 Michigan versus number 16 Iowa. Michigan is the 22-point favorite in this matchup. I'm going to go with Michigan. I'm not saying that stuff's not possible. Anything is possible. If Iowa just wakes up tomorrow and they're like, you know what? F it. And they just go crazy. Anything can happen. If they're that locked in, if this defense is locked in like that, because you're going to get a heavy dose of Blake Corum. Michigan loves to run the football. J.J. McCarthy did show, he balled out last. I'm going to give it to him. He was making some plays, making some tight throws, scrambling, and making some. I mean, Ohio State's defense is garbage, but I'm not going to take away from, the throws that J.J. McCarthy was making, because he was making some throws. He was making some throws, so damn good throws. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that. So, can Iowa stop this offense? That's the question. And then you got, Michigan's defense. I mean, does Iowa have enough offense to maybe even challenge Michigan's defense? I don't know. So, I'm going with Michigan. But Michigan, don't get caught looking ahead. Because you could find yourself in a little battle. That's all I got to say. Don't get caught looking ahead. This is a dangerous matchup for a Michigan team who's just expected to win, expected to roll in and just run over them. I know they got Harbaugh back on the sidelines. I get that. But don't get caught looking ahead like Louisville did. That's all I got to say. Because if you do, chaos could be coming. And then last but not least, man. The ACC Championship game, number 14 Louisville versus number 4 Florida State. Florida State is a 2-point favorite in this game. I think they were initially like a 3-point favorite, something like that. But I did see a report out that Brodemaker, the second string quarterback, is questionable right now because of the injury to his head that he took against Florida. So he may not even play in the game. So that means they would have to go to their third string quarterback. So yeah, that's a nightmare right there. I mean, wow. Yeah, I think he's in like concussion protocol or something like that right now. So they're still trying to evaluate. You know, they got him listed as a game time decision right now. Because again, he did take a nasty hit to the head, which was clearly, you know, targeting. But they have him in doubt right now for the game. So that would be another huge loss. And if he's unable to play, they would have to go with their freshman, Brock Glenn. He's only taken a few snaps this season. He played against North Alabama, obviously, but that would be catastrophic if he's unable to go. I mean, I still think it's still, you know, I mean, at least Brock, I mean, Rodemaker. Tate Rodemaker, he had a couple of games under his belt, but man, you got to put your freshman in there. Whew, man. But regardless, I was gonna go with Louisville in this game. Let me not say Louisville because I know a couple people from Kentucky and they say it's Louisville. So let me correct myself. Louisville. I'm going with them, the Cardinals in this matchup, man. I just think that they could pose a threat to this Florida State team. I know that Florida State has a really good defense, but I think that if offensively they're not able to move the ball down the field and put points on the board, which is going to be tough with the backup quarterback and Tate Rodemaker, but it's going to be even more tough with Brock Glenn, who is only taking a couple snaps and he's a freshman. So I know people like to go back to Cardale Jones' situation at Ohio State when he came in and they beat Washington. I mean, they beat Wisconsin 59-0. But listen, he was a tank. He was a cyborg. Cardale Jones was a cyborg. That dude was huge. I mean, I man, that it was, and then obviously he beat us in the national championship. I mean, in the college football playoff. But I mean, he had Ezekiel Elliott. We forget. You know, he had a team around him. You know, Ohio State was able to win the very first college football playoff national championship against Oregon. I don't know if a lot of you all remember that, but yeah, I mean, I don't see if Florida State can't put up points, I don't think that they're gonna win this game. So I'm going with Louisville to win the game. All right, so. If everything, again, let's go through my picks again. I got Oregon, Oklahoma State, Bama, Michigan, and Louisville winning tomorrow. Right? So if this does happen, if this indeed does happen, I think that the top four, let me tell you what I think the top four would end up being if all of these results happen. I think you would get Michigan in there. I think Alabama would be in there. So Michigan is a Big Ten champion. Alabama is an SEC champion. Oregon as a Pac-12 champion, but then I think that Florida State would be out. Obviously, I think that Texas would be out, and then the conversation then would become Washington or Georgia. So here's where it gets tricky because you're looking at, you know, Georgia, the eye test, they're the two-time defending national champions. You got Washington, who their only loss would have been in the Pac-12 championship game. Neither won their conference. But I think it also will depend on how each of these teams lose. If it's both a close game, I think that they would slide and the edge would go to Georgia and they would put Georgia in over Washington. And that's how they would get two, how the SEC would get two teams in there. I think that if Georgia somehow gets blown out by Alabama, like 14 points, but if it's a convincing win, I think that if it's a convincing win, if Alabama wins by 14 and Washington loses by like 1 point or last second field goal by three, I think that they would probably lean towards Washington. Because it's all about how you look. What's the final thing that you put on tape for the committee to look at? I mean, they're going to evaluate the whole year, but what's the last thing that you see when you look at these teams? So I think that that's how either of those teams would get in. Again, if Georgia loses by 14 or more, they're blown out. Washington loses a close game, I think they slide with Washington. If both are close losses, I think they would slide with Georgia. So Michigan, Bama, Georgia, and Oregon was what I think it would end up being. But again, that's contingent upon how they look if they lose. So that's all I got for y'all, man. I appreciate everybody giving me your time to talk some sports, as I always love to do. I know I've been away for a little bit. Got to take some breaks here and there. I had to get some new headphones, had some stuff working. Had to get situated on my end, but excited to be back as always before these college football games kick off. I hope everybody enjoys their weekend. Make sure you lock into these games. Make sure you're safe out here, man. It's cold, y'all. It's getting cold, man. Make sure y'all get y'all coats and your, look, sweaters. Don't go out here trying to look cute now. Ladies, put y'all coats on. Fellas, don't be out here trying to look cool with the short sleeve shirts on, man. Put a jacket on, dog. Put a jacket on. She'll still like you. Put your jacket on, scarf on, something. You don't want to get sick. So, but again, man, blessings to everybody. Excited about this final chapter of 2023. Take December. Give it your all. Give it your best. Finish this year strong, y'all. I'll be back. Probably jump on again on Sunday, man. Maybe give y'all a little preview. Well, probably after we hear the on Selection Sunday, probably follow back up with another episode either on Sunday. I know it's probably gonna be like a 4-hour show. I don't know when they'll make the actual picks, but probably hop on Monday or something like that, give y'all, you know, my thoughts on that. But again, man, I appreciate everybody's time. Y'all be blessed. Y'all enjoy y'all weekend. All right, I'm out. Peace. We'll